Get up. It takes so long for me to get up. Thank you. We're reading tonight from 8:22. I don't know which books you have. Chapter 8, verse 22. Om Jnana Trimanjasya Jnana Jnana Salakya Chaksharum Militam Yena Tashmi Sri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karasmayam Tatati Sva Param Srikam Vanchakopa Trubhischa Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sri Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Welcome to the Wednesday night lecture. It says here, I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnav devotees of the Lord. They can fulfill the desires of everyone, just like desire trees, and they are full of compassion for the fallen souls. And I mean that. Please have compassion upon this fallen soul as he tries to lecture those who probably could give a better lecture tonight. But I've been given this chance, and so I feel so deeply grateful to be here with you Vaishnavs. Vanamali Pandit had mentioned in his lecture, I don't know how many people were here on Sunday, it was a wonderful lecture about appreciation of Vaishnavs, which is, we say that the worst thing in the world is to find fault in a Vaishnav, but the best thing in the world is to look for the good in a Vaishnav. Always seek the nectar. If you put it on a bumper sticker, you'd say seek the nectar, no matter who you're dealing with, whether it be a Vaishnav or just a devotee or just a person who will eventually come around to being a Vaishnav, and that's everyone. Always see the good in them, and he quoted from Voltaire, which I thought bears repeating. It wasn't, he said not Voltaire, he said Voltaire. Which is, Voltaire said that appreciation of others is, this is paraphrased, is such a wonderful thing because that quality in them that you learn to appreciate also becomes your own. So if we can see that spark of Krishna in everyone, at all times, no matter what we're dealing with, then you're with Krishna. And verily, you've already made it back to Godhead. The whole thing is to just be constant, and you'll never have a regret for anything, because you'll be seeing Krishna at all times and in everything. And that's what this verse is about. Read the Sanskrit, chapter 8, text 22. Purusha sa parapata bhaktya labhyastva fyanyaya yashyantashtani bhutani yena savam idam tatam. Repeat after me. Purusha sa parapata bhaktya labhyastva fyanyaya yashyantashtani bhutani yena sava idam tatam. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotion. Although he is present in his abode, he is all-pervading, and everything is situated within him. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. It is here clearly stated that the supreme destination from which there is no return is the abode of Krishna, the Supreme Person. The Brahma Samhita describes this supreme abode as Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, a place where everything is full of spiritual bliss. Whatever variegatedness is manifest, there is all of the quality of the spiritual bliss. There is nothing material. All variegatedness is expanded as the spiritual expansion of the Supreme Godhead Himself. For the manifestation there is totally of the spiritual energy as explained in chapter 7. As far as this material world is concerned, although the Lord is always in his supreme abode, he is nonetheless all-pervading by his material energy. So by his spiritual and material energies, he is present everywhere, both in the material and in the spiritual universes. Yashyantashtani means that everything is sustained by him, whether it be spiritual or material energy. In all the Vaikunthas, there is only one supreme Godhead, Krishna, who has expanded himself into millions and millions of plenary expansions. Am I still reading from this purport? Am I still on track here? Because I divided the purport up. These plenary expansions are four-armed, and they preside over innumerable spiritual planets. They are known by a variety of names: Purusottama, Trivikram, Keshava, Madhava, Aniruddha, Rishikesh, Shankashan, Pradyumna, Sridhara, Vasudev, Damodar, Janadan, Narayan, Vamana, Padmanabha, etc. These planetary expansions are likened unto leaves of a tree, and the main tree is likened unto Krishna. Krishna, dwelling in Goloka Vrindavan, his supreme abode, systematically conducts all affairs of both universes, material and spiritual, without a flaw, by power of his all-pervasiveness. A couple Sundays back, how many here were here for Naranjana Swami's lecture? All right. If you can remember, he went on quite specifically into the ages of Brahma. I can't recall the verse. It was a couple verses back, but it was called the dissolution. What happens when Vishnu breathes in? What to speak of Brahma's day and night, which is inconceivable. We can sit here and do the math. But ultimately, Vishnu breathes in, and we're not here. We're not manifest, and Vishnu breathes out, and here we are again, unfortunately, in this world. After spending quite a bit of time explaining the days of Brahma and the yugas and what we go through, and it is what's more unfathomable than the billions and trillions of years that this takes place, is the fact that it takes that long for us to get it, that Krishna is in control, and that we are infinitesimally little jivas who are not in control, that our pride, our ahankara, which is the first of the things that is manifest when we come into this world, covers us. We are covered in Maya, his deluding energy. And it's actually millions of years that we go and we forget Krishna. The word sin, actually sundara, is it Greek? Anyways, it means to cut asunder, like the word asunder. Okay, so you have the same root. Sun means to cut. So when we involve ourselves in anything which has us to deviate from remembering Krishna, it's a sin. It doesn't necessarily have to be breaking the four regulative principles, so to speak. It could be like, am I going to read this Gita, or am I going to stay on this web page that's all about Krishna? And his pastimes in Goloka, or am I just going to click over here and find out what's going on with the game or with the news? So I'll help you out there. As far as all the, I don't think there's too many sports fans here. I'm surrounded by it by the nature of my business. But basically, there are winners and there are losers. All right, that's it. And as far as the news goes, as Prabhupada said, there is the cheated, and the cheaters. And you'll find that anytime you turn the news on, you can break it down into that. There are the cheaters and the cheated. So anyways, when we involve ourselves in the stuff of the world, we are actually cutting ourselves off from Krishna. And we see that Prabhupada has used the word, or actually in the verse, this ananyaya, which is, anya means other, an means no. So no other. There's no other process except bhakti. Bhakti, Prabhupada has translated as devotional service. Bhakti also means love. But Prabhupada never just said love, because in this world, especially in the Western world, love, the word love is taken cheaply. There is a saying, show me your love. So devotional service, that which, what we do, what we engage in, what we spend our moments in during the day, whether it be direct devotional service in the temple, making garlands, or we're at work and there's troubles and we think of Krishna. It's all the same. As long as we are remembering Krishna and not forgetting Krishna, we're all set. And it does not matter whether you're in the service and directly touching some of his paraphernalia and engaging yourself that way. If you are crying out to Krishna in some way, at some point in time or at all points in time in your day, then you are engaged in devotional service. You are remembering Krishna, and this is the first and foremost aspect of love. Hopefully, there'll come a time that we will be able to spontaneously always think of Krishna. I don't know how many people have had experience with this, but when you are, and I know that some people have been brought up in the movement, and some people are born and raised in India, so the idea of dating or, you know, the relationship between a young girl and a young boy is sort of, you know, first came the philosophy and then came that, so you kind of like were protected. But when you're in delusion, when you're a young boy or a young girl and you meet someone like Romeo and Juliet, when you meet someone that you fall for, you don't have to try to think of that person. You are constantly thinking of that person. What can I get her? What can I do to make him happy? What would they think of me now? You know, do I look right? You know, except it's spontaneous. And this is ultimately how we should feel about Krishna, because ultimately Krishna is right here. And Krishna, you know, it's tough when we say that he's all-pervading and everything is situated within him and he's present in his abode. It takes us a bit back, you know, his abode. You know, maybe one day I'll get there after circling around a few times. I'll get enough momentum and spring out, you know. Or that he's all-pervading. Well, he's kind of everywhere and, you know, I got to find him, you know. I got to find him and, you know, making it to the temple on time. I got to find him up on the altar. I got to find him in my beads and stuff like that. But ultimately, he's right here. Hridaya. Ito nishingo hridaya. Bahia nishingo hridaya nishingo. Okay? Of course, it's, that loving Nrisingadeva, that's a little bit, yeah, just bow down to Nrisingadeva. But Krishna, he is as closer than even you are to yourself, because he knows what you're up to. And if you can always remember that when you have thoughts going through your head or doubts, Madhusudana is the killer of doubts. When you have doubts going on, time flies. You are not turning to Krishna. If you turn to Krishna, he will alleviate all your doubts. So very quickly, what do we do with this information that he is everywhere, that he pervades, that everything is under his control? At the end of what... Naranjana Maharaj, after talking for literally probably 25 minutes of the numbers, the years, the yugas, the cycles, the breathing in and the breathing out, he says, but Krishna becomes subservient, endeared, beloved by his devotee. So this Krishna who breathes in and the whole material manifestation is gone, and breathes out and everything's going on, he becomes endeared to you when you think of him spontaneously or go out of your way to do something for him, little things with great love. It doesn't have to be some great thing that you do, little things. An example of this is I was talking the other day to a devotee, and I thought it summed it up. One of the things that started up, I was talking about the philosophy, you know, just rambling on, and she said, oh, I don't know about all that. I make a garland, I clean the temple, I feel so happy, I just want to do more. So that's it. That's it. Just do a little something and watch what happens. This is the science. Just do a little bit. Show your love, devotional service, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to become involved in. Also, I think most importantly, and we're about to engage in this process, as we all know, the chanting of the names, the crying out for Krishna. Another devotee I was talking to, we were talking about japa, and she said, I have to chant because if I don't, I just start to cry. So how many of us actually, you know, get so panicked if we don't chant that we actually feel like we're going to tear up a little bit? So this is very important. That spontaneous love that a little boy, Prabhupada said, that we should feel about Krishna as a little girl feels towards her boyfriend, towards her new boyfriend. It's a constant thinking. It's spontaneous. I know that I don't know why Amarnath disappeared. I wanted to refer to, you know, ask him, what's the Sanskrit word for this? What's the Sanskrit word? What is it? There's devotional service that we do because we're told to and it's listed, and then there's spontaneous. Raganuga. So, it is by undivided devotional service, and undivided means unalloyed, which means it's not mixed with anything. We're not here to be the best singer, or to be the biggest giver, or to be the best garland maker, or to be the best dancer, or whatever, because it all means nothing to Krishna. We are simply here to think and to praise the Lord. I mention again something, this is off the scripture, but it's from a religion. Bob Marley said it best when he said, give thanks and praise to the Lord and you will feel all right. Okay? So, and actually it continues on, let's get together and feel all right. So this is Sankirtan. This is the congregational chanting of the holy name. And that's what we're about to engage in. I wanted to read one other thing by Sripad Vallabha Acharya. Adaram madaram, vandanam madaram, nayanam madaram, hasitam madaram, hridayam madaram, gamanam madaram, madur adipati akilam madaram. His lips are sweet, his face is sweet, his eyes are sweet, his smile is sweet, his loving heart is sweet, his walk is sweet. Everything is completely sweet about the Lord of sweetness. So I only have one question. What's not to love? Haribo. So I will end the lecture here so we can get... Are there any questions? Nobody has, everybody's free from doubt? Or is it that you don't believe that I can probably come up with an answer? since we do have a, well, I'm waiting for the little beep. So, yes.
So, we're here in this material world. We have our daily dealings. We're involved in the world. We have to sustain our lives and so forth. And some of us may be living in a temple, others may be living outside. But we have this idea of loving Krishna. But it sometimes may sound like very pie in the sky. Like you don't necessarily, it's like a very nice ideal. How can one actually develop this sense that the purpose of our existence is to love God? How can we chant? How can we, what's the mood that we need?
There's actually a Latin saying, ora et labora. Pray and work. Not work is prayer, which sometimes you'll see Indians, there's an Eastern philosophy, work is prayer. It's actually not that. It's pray and work. Also, the fact of the matter is if you are out there in that world and you are going out of your way to remember Krishna at all times, you're taking a step above doing it in the temple. Because it is a third-class devotee that only sees Krishna in the deity. It's a second-class devotee that sees Krishna in other devotees. And it's a first-class devotee that sees Krishna in everyone. So that's what we've got to try to do. It's not that there's the outside world and there's this work and we're just struggling like mudhas frothing at the mouth. Okay? We're doing our work because guess what? Arjuna had to pull his bow. Okay? He had to fight. We have to fight. Give some of it to the temple. You'll feel inspired within. Show up. If you have a choice between sitting on your tush and coming to the temple, choose the latter. You know, make the right decisions. And eventually, Krishna will give you that love. It'll be given by Krishna. We don't all of a sudden find ourselves, or we don't earn that love, so to speak. But Krishna sees by our sincere endeavor that we are ready to chant the holy name, and he'll give us the love. Hare Krishna.